like a pro even if you're not one. Start with Lowe's and pick up the brands pros rely on and pick up the know-how to get it done right. With a reputation on the line, pros know that brands like Purdy and Cabot deliver solid results. So if the go-to pro brands work for the big jobs, you can count on them to work for your projects. For the know-how, like choosing colors to taping and techniques, you can count on Lowe's for as little or as much help as you need. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's.
Good morning and welcome to this
Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Christians have different ways of spreading the gospel. Some do so through volunteerism and church activities in their communities, while others convey the message through a speaking, writing, singing, or other creative ministry. Then there are those who step out of their everyday routine, braving an unfamiliar and often challenging environment to bring the gospel to peoples of other nations. This spring, my guest, Sarah Faust, left her husband and five children on their mini farm in East Tennessee to join a mission trip to the Philippines. She found herself thrust into surroundings and a culture quite different from our own, challenged to step far out of her comfort zone. She describes the adventure as an amazing, life-changing trip. Sarah is an award-winning author of inspirational romantic suspense. Her story, entitled Leap of Faith, appeared in Chicken Soup for the Soul, Step Outside Your Comfort Zone. Her debut novel, Callum's Compass, Journey to Love, the first book in her Love, Hope, and Faith series, released in 2017, and won second place in Deep River Books' 2017 Writers Contest. The second book, Camp Hope, Journey to Hope, is currently on pre-order and releases today, July 24th. Sarah is a member of American Christian Fiction Writers. She holds a bachelor's degree in animal science earned at the University of Tennessee. She finds inspiration in her faith, her family, and the beauty of nature. When she isn't working or homeschooling her five children, you can find her reading, camping, and spending time outdoors with her family. Good morning and welcome to the show, Sarah.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to have you this morning, Sarah. I've always enjoyed seeing you online, and of course I've read your books, and we'll talk about that later, but one of the things that intrigues me about you is that you live on a mini farm.
Tell us
a little bit about that.
Life here is a little crazy pretty much all the time with five kids, and my husband is a paramedic, so he works 24-hour shift, so he'll be on for 24 hours, and then he's off for 48 hours, and then the cycle repeats. So we are in charge of taking care of the sheep, which we have 11 lambs, but my eldest daughter is showing in 4-H this year. And seven mamas and one daddy sheep. And we have a mama pig that just had nine piglets less than a week ago. I've never had piglets before. They're pretty cute. and we have chickens, rabbit. We have two ducks that I just have because I like ducks. And one pygmy goat who is my best pet. I love him. He lives in our front yard and comes when I call him and follows me around everywhere I go. And then we have dogs and cats, and we came home from the beach recently with more hermit crabs than we have children. So I'm not quite sure how we did that, but we have a lot of hermit crabs now.
Oh my goodness. It sounds like your life must be just absolutely crazy and a whole lot of fun, Sarah.
Yes, we spend a lot of time feeding and watering everybody every day, but it's good.
I'll bet. My goodness. Well, I grew up out on the South Shore of Long Island, but I had a great aunt and uncle who had a farm up in Connecticut, and their main thing was cows. But, my goodness, I used to love to hop on the back of the tractor at 5:30 in the morning with my uncle, and he would go around to the different pastures and feed the cows, and I thought that was just the coolest thing. And, of course, he had a couple of dogs always around the place that I kind of adopted as my pets. So, yeah, farm life is something that I just always enjoyed.
Yes, me too.
Well, Sarah, in the midst of all of this, you suddenly, I'm sure it wasn't a sudden decision, but you decided to take off and go to the Philippines. So was there any, maybe a little bit of concern about what you were doing?
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of concern, a lot. It was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do because I'm home with my kids all the time. I am so blessed to be able to be a stay-at-home mom, and I homeschool, and I write from home. And so I'm the primary, I'm the one who makes the schedules and knows what kind of peanut butter one likes and the other one doesn't like, and all the doses for medicines and, all that. It was a very, very hard thing for me to leave them. But I have always wanted to go on a mission trip, and I always kind of just said, okay, Lord, I know that's in your plan for me somewhere down the line, but maybe after my kids are a little bit older, maybe when all my kids are grown and I can go. It's kind of a funny story. I think a lot of most writers are readers too. And I have always loved reading. Ever since I was little, I just ate books up. I wanted to be at the library all the time, and I spent my summer reading. And, so I picked up a copy of a book that I had not read before by Kelly Irvin called A Plain Love Song. And I'm a huge Kelly Irvin fan. And in this book, her main character, Ada, wanted to be a musician. And though she was, Kelly writes Amish fiction. And so that was a huge no-no for this character's life. And when I finished reading this book, about this character who wanted to put her own desires for her life before God's desires for her life, it was so overwhelming because I realized I had been putting my mommy desires, my desire to stay home, mm-hmm. above God's plan for me. And so once I realized that and prayed and said, Lord, use me as you want to use me, not as I want to be used, it wasn't very many days after that it was like, you've got to go on a mission trip right now, and you need to call your friends that you know is going and find out when they're going. And so that's kind of how that came about. And the day I said yes, I was excited, but I was terrified instantly because I was leaving my kids. Not to mention that I'd never been out of the country before either. And so this was a big deal. It was a lot of firsts in my life.
Absolutely. Well, isn't it interesting, Sarah, and I know Kelly, I don't know her personally, but she's been on my blog with her books and so such, and I recognize her as a very popular Amish fiction writer. Mm-hmm. Isn't it interesting, though, how a novel influenced your life,
yeah.
that life decision for you? Because we often think about the self-help books, and which are wonderful, mm-hmm. the nonfiction books, the Max Lucado's, mm-hmm. and these kind of people. And yet, here Kelly was writing this fiction book, and little did she know, probably, mm-hmm. that was going to influence you to take
yeah.
this trip. So I think that's amazing. That is really a cool story. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
You're welcome. I think so, too. And I, after I said yes to the mission trip, I instantly reached out to her, and I don't know her personally either, and I kind of had that, starstruck moment, when she answered me, because in my mind, she's a big deal, and told her that I thanked her for writing the book the way that God had given it to her, because even if I was the only one it was meant to change my life, it worked, and that is, as a writer, that's what I hope happens, too, like, it
sure.
would be amazing to me. If something like that happened, if I got a story from someone that said, oh, you influenced me with your fiction, that would be awesome.
Yes, it would. Sarah, I failed to ask you, and I should have asked you first off, what is the age range of your children?
Oh, my kids are little. My son will be 3 on August 4th, and then our daughters are 4, 6, 9, and 12.
Oh, my. So they are still quite young.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I can see where that would have been very, very difficult.
Yes. And both of our little ones are adopted and are considered special needs. They're not, not debilitatingly handicapped, but But they are considered special needs. And at the time that I left, I didn't know that my son was about to be diagnosed with autism. He was just diagnosed with autism about a month ago. So it took a village of my family and friends and church family to take my place while I was gone. And I'm so thankful for them and for my husband, because he said, "Sure, hon, you go. I'll stay." which is amazing.
You breathe. Well, that is wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, Sarah, when you first stepped off that plane and you spent the first couple of hours in a different country, what were your first impressions of the sights and the smells that you encountered there? How was it different from here?
It is so different. I felt kind of like I was getting off into a National Geographic documentary, because we stepped off the plane, and the first, obviously, it's hot. It's a tropical country, so it was very hot. And we walked across the tarmac into the airport, which is not even completely closed in. It's the front side is open, and you kind of just walk into it. And it's kind of funny. One of my first impressions was actually how different the bathrooms are. It's very intimidating. I will never take for granted an American bathroom ever again. But there was a lot of, they burn rice husks. One of their main crops is rice. So once they harvest the rice, then they burn the husks. So there was a lot of smoke in the air. There was a lot of exhaust, because I don't think it's as regulated as it is here. But there was also a lot of beauty. There were flowers and palm trees and coconut trees, and everyone there has a smile on their face. Like they look at you and they just smile, and that is something that is universal. It's just, it speaks across the language barrier, and that was one of the most beautiful things to know that that everyone there that we encountered was so friendly and so welcoming and warm.
Well, it sounds like it was quite fascinating, intimidating at the same time.
It was intimidating. And we were tired, of course, because we've been traveling for 2 days, you know, to get there. And so, and we still had to get on a bus, which is not a bus like we think about here. There are no windows and there are no seatbelts, and you sit on benches that run the length of the bus with your luggage tied to the top of the thing. And we still had a 3-hour trip ahead of us to get to the town that we were going to. So it's kind of, we wound up this mountain and lost one of our bags off the top. It went like bouncing down the road. So we had to pull over, and the boys that were riding on top watching the luggage jumped off and went and got it and brought it back and put it back on top, you know. But they didn't think that was any big deal. Apparently that's normal.
Oh my goodness. They actually ride on top of the bus, like on the luggage rack part?
Yeah, there were two boys that had volunteered to come from the church to help pick us up and help us with our luggage, and they rode either on top, sitting on top of the luggage, or standing on the back watching the luggage for pretty much the entire drive. Yeah, we finally talked them into coming in and sitting with us, because I thought, man, they've got to be tired. And then as soon as we did that is when the bag fell off and we had to pull it over and pick it up. So, anyway.
Oh my goodness. I can't get over that.
It's a very, very different, culture there.
Oh, it sure sounds like it. But you did talk about the people, how they're always smiling.
Yes.
And I'm sure that was probably kind of neat, because here in this country, we don't always see that.
Yes. It was a very pleasant surprise, and something that helped, you know, calm some of those fears. But we all fear the unknown, I think. And everyone here that has never been to the Philippines, as we were preparing to leave, was like, oh, you know, there's an ISIS cell in the Philippines somewhere, and are you sure you want to go over there? And they don't have the best medicine. And so there were a lot of fears that of the unknown. And so that was a wonderful comfort to step off and see all these people that you know, they look at you and they smile, even if they don't have a clue why you're there.
That is so neat.
Yes.
Well, Sarah, you wrote a wonderful, wonderful journal on your website about this trip, and it was so well detailed that, I mean, I was practically there with you. It was wonderful. And one of the things that you brought up about the people throughout your narrative, and I'd like you to speak to this, is how they are so grateful for so little.
Yes. Definitely. I could not get that thought out of my mind the entire time we were there, that they have so little, and yet they do so much with it. We actually went to help Biony Hands Baptist Church work with a family camp. It's kind of like Vacation Bible School, except they invite the family, and they actually stay overnight, kind of like a camp out, which when you think about it, for us, we would need a cabin with electricity and air conditioning and running water and toilets and
Wi-Fi.
and Wi-Fi, yes, for sure, and tablets and phones. And they had the camp at one of the local elementary schools, and the people that stayed piled up in the classrooms. And one of the things that they said is that no one sleeps on the ground, because at night is when the snakes come out. So everyone was sleeping on, like, the tables or on top of cars or on top of – some people had hammocks. Very few people had hammocks that they slept on. But they made do with what they had, because they wanted to be part of this family camp so badly. And it was absolutely an amazing experience. When we think of Vacation Bible School, I think of, okay, we go in and we have our, you know, our pledges, and then we have class and we have dinner or snack, and then we're gone. And these people did it all day long, preaching 4 times a day, in which the children and the parents were just wonderfully riveted the entire time they were there. And they didn't have crafts, so we took crafts, and you couldn't believe the excitement of the preschoolers over stickers and crayons and just things that they don't normally have. And I was that part. They were so happy with just the small things, with some blow-up balls to play games with, and just people to tell them stories, and so joyous to hear the scripture and the gospel and the singing. It was absolutely amazing. And they were there. We ate very well. They treated us like kings and queens while we were there. And we paid for our groceries. And then one of the pastor's wives and some of the other women fixed food for us. But you would turn around and look out the back where the kids were eating and almost wish you could give them your food, because they were there and they were eating grilled fish and rice and beans most nights, and they were so thankful for it.
Goodness. That is amazing. We in this country are just so ridiculously spoiled that it's kind of sad in a way.
It is, and that was the other thought that I had the whole time I was there. Man, am I spoiled. I don't have, you know, so.
Yeah, when I think of, I mean, stupid things like how, I haven't done it in a long time, but I'll leave the house at 10 o'clock at night to go to the convenience store to get a 6-pack of Pepsi because I don't have any, you know? I mean,
I know.
It's just crazy. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Sarah, you talked in your journal quite a bit about how you grew spiritually on the mission trip. What were some of the things that you felt that God taught you?
Oh, goodness. There was so much, and it took a really long time. I know I wrote quite a bit in the journal each night, but I felt like it even took a long time once I got back to process everything and how I had changed. I went over there thinking that I was going to help make a difference for them, when in reality, they changed me more than I think I could have ever possibly helped. I learned a lot about myself, in that I'm fiercely independent, and I'm very capable. I always have been independent, you know, and not afraid to go get a job if I need to get a job, and, you know, all those things. And they took us to the marketplace, Ma'am Melody, which is the pastor that's over the home, their first church. She took us shopping and took us to the local open air market, and it was the most intimidating thing I have ever done in my life. And I was terrified that I was going to lose her. I felt like a puppy following her around, completely helpless, could not speak the language, couldn't do the math because I was so tired to convert the money that I needed to pay for the stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah.
That day, I realized that I am not as completely capable and independent as I think I am, that I need to be more reliant on God's help. And I think I made the comment one day that I am on the journal that I learned that I'm stronger than I think I am only because I'm weaker than I think I am. And because I need to lean more on God than on myself. And that was a big thing that I learned while I was over there, for myself. And also that, I'm enough. I am who God made me to be, and I don't always have to pretend like I know everything and like I am strong and like I am capable, that I'm enough exactly the way that I am, and if I let Him lead me, then everything's going to turn out the way that it's supposed to.
I love those perceptions, and that statement that you just made really caught my attention on the journal, and I was hoping that you would bring that up because I had forgotten to write it down, but it was like, wow, this is really profound, and I meant to put it in my notes and I didn't. So I'm so glad that you did bring it up.
Thanks.
Excuse me, I need a drink of water here real quick. So you said there were perceptions of you that changed, and how you realized that you are enough in God's eyes.
Yes.
Was there anything else that kind of made that you just kind of felt like, wow, I'm a different person than I thought I was?
Yeah, I did. I went on the trip feeling almost like I had lost sight of who I was, because I've been a wife and a mom. And so as a wife and a mom, you tend to give every piece of yourself out to someone else every single day. And I almost felt like I had lost sight of who I was when I was just me. And so going on a trip and being able to, which I missed my family like crazy, and I missed being a mom, and I missed being with my husband and everything. But at the same time, it was wonderful to just kind of be able to sit down and not have to be something for someone else for the time that I was over there. And it was a wonderful way of rejuvenating the parts of me, kind of just refreshing myself and giving me the strength I needed for when I got back. And I actually, when I came home, it was hard to readjust to jump, going back into being everything for everyone all the time. And I wrote two sticky notes on my counter or on my cabinet of Ephesians 2:10 that says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and the good work which God has before ordained that we should walk in Him." So that's my one that reminds me I'm enough. And then Luke 12:7 says, "But even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." And that's the one that reminds me that I have worth. And those were two things that I kind of lost sight of before I went, that I'm enough and I have worth. And I was very thankful for those reminders, and that I can remember those even now. It's been a couple months and life is back to crazy. But every day, that's something that I want to remember for myself and teach my children, that they have worth and that they are enough.
Most definitely. I think that's something that we can get so immersed in the day-to-day, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And I can identify with that because I worked a career in nursing, in psych nursing. And yeah, you give so much. You're the caregiver. You're the nurturer.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one who was always supposed to be the strong one. You're the one that's supposed to be there with all the answers. And
I
can certainly relate to how this was a break for you, and that you were not necessarily, even though you were in the setting you were not necessarily, I understand, responsible Like, they didn't tell you, okay, you have to watch these 15 kids and make sure they're safe and fed and all this. That wasn't your role there. So, it sounds like it was just a really wonderful experience for you, and I'm so glad. Because I remember from your emails to our writers group that you were excited, you were nervous, you were apprehensive, and you were, please pray for me because I don't know if I can do this. And then when you came back, you were just so exuberant. It was like, oh, got to get her on the show.
And it was. And, I got to enjoy just loving on those children over there was amazing. And they are so affectionate. And they didn't care one tiny little bit that we were drenched with sweat. It's probably did not smell that great. They didn't care. They wanted to hug you and sit next to you and talk to you. And the parents of these children were just wonderful, too. They weren't at all jealous of or selfish with their children. You know, they wanted them to come and love on us and sit with us and talk to us and hug us. And it was beautiful. They really welcomed us into their lives.
Oh, how neat. That's something else that I find interesting, though, is that the parents were so engaged, because unfortunately here in this country, you have the parents that drop the kids off at vacation Bible school or at church, and that's the last you see of them until after the event is over. So it's wonderful that it's a family engagement event.
Yes.
Sarah, we're about halfway through our show, and at this time I like to take a little break. And the reason for doing that is to kind of a station identification thing, if you will, because we have folks that do come into Blog Talk Radio and pick up a show in the middle of the show and don't really know what's going on. So, listeners, the name of this show is Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Today, I'm so excited to have guest Sarah Faust, who is a published and award-winning author. Sarah also went on a mission trip to the Philippines a couple of months ago, and she's telling us about the experiences that she had there and the perceptions that of just how life is different in other countries and the way that it changed her in very profound ways. excuse me. Sarah has a website. She also has a Facebook page. She also has a couple of books out that we will be talking about shortly. If you want to learn more information about Sarah, I'm going to point you to my website, which is PattySheen.com. There you will find the Blog Talk Radio tab. You'll find a listing for all of our shows. And under the more information for each show, you will find information about our guests, where you can find them online. Also, I'm going to, of course, link to Sarah's books as well. So any information you want to know about our guests is there. Also, I want to make listeners aware that if you did miss a part of this show, or if you'd like to listen to it again, or would like to refer it to friends, that it is on archive. And like I said, they're all right there on the website. There's a direct link to each one. So we try to make it as easy for you as we can to listen to the shows and enjoy them. So let's get back to Sarah. Sarah, you said that the mission trip equipped you to work in the mission field at home. What did you mean by that? What steps have you taken since, or do you plan to take?
You know, I had never had the opportunity to be a part of full-time ministry work. And while we were there, the entire time that we were there, the goal was to direct people to God. And I had never been able to be a part of something like that, where it is an all day long, every day, that's your focus. And it was wonderful. I loved it. It felt so, there was such a peace that I felt while I was there, because I knew every minute that I was working towards that goal. And I came home just like ready to change everything. I said, hon, let's just sell everything we have and get a camper and go travel the country and evangelize and, you know, win souls. That obviously is a bit unrealistic. He is in school full time and we have children
and
that need to be schooled.
Wait a minute.
I know. I think he was a little shocked about who I came home as. You know, I was definitely different and so on fire. God has really reminded me that we have responsibilities and we need to take care of those. But I'm thankful because my cousin just moved home from with her family from Georgia, and she is very mission-minded, and she actually, that's what she went to school for. So she and I have been talking quite a bit about opportunities that we can do locally and include our children, because we both really want our children to see how blessed that they are. So she's got her and her four children are volunteering today at a local food truck, kind of checking it out and seeing how it goes, but that we can join them hopefully maybe a couple times a month, helping to pass out food at this local food truck in the area. And her mother, my aunt, actually reminded me, you have five children that you are homeschooling, and that is a huge mission field for you. You need to focus on teaching them about the Bible, teaching them about how to serve others. And I was thankful for that reminder too, because it's a big job trying to cram their little brain full of all of the information that they need. And I will admit that I have been a little sidetracked since our son's diagnosis with autism. It kind of threw me for a loop, and been struggling with trying to figure out home therapies and new techniques that we can do to help him be able to communicate and be well regulated. But I definitely want to keep local mission work of some sort in the forefront of my mind. And I think volunteering with this food truck is going to be really good for the kids. And I'm hoping that next summer I can volunteer with a local Bible camp that they're going to have in a town here nearby. And I'd really love for my children to see the Philippines too at some point, but we'll have to pray about that.
Definitely, yeah. You know, Sarah, this reminds me of some topics that we brought up in our Sunday school class. Our pastor left recently, so he's not leading our Sunday school class anymore, but we had read a book that talks about our changing society and how back in the day, everybody went to church. There was nothing to do on Sunday morning because everything was closed and you had the blue laws and all this kind of thing. And now church attendance is down so much everywhere. And you don't realize that your next door neighbor who you have known for 20 years may be the person that needs you to evangelize to them more than anyone else in your sphere of influence.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're right on track with what you're talking about here.
Thank you. Yeah, I was thankful for, I had such a good family and such good reminders. I want to make sure that has definitely become a priority for this year. I'm shopping for our homeschool curriculum right now, and that is one thing that we are going to do every day. We're going to start with Bible study rather than just, I've always tried to do a Bible study, but it's kind of been like, we're so tired. We've done our math and our science and the core subjects that we have to do according to the state. So we're going to start with Bible study every single day this year, and that's going to be my primary focus. Get that core. That's going to be our core subject this year, and then we're going to do the other things that we're supposed to do.
That you have to.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Well, it sounds like you're definitely on the right track with those kiddos. and I wish you the very best with your son, and I hope that you find resources that you need to, you know, to get him the education that he needs, and I'll be praying for that for you guys.
Thank you.
Well, Sarah, let's switch focus a little bit now. You are a writer.
Yes.
And I always like to ask my guests, what childhood experiences contributed to your choice to become a writer? I gather, and I may be entirely wrong, but I gather from listening to you that you did grow up in a Christian home with Christian influence, but that may not be the case at all. So share with us a little bit of what shaped you to the person you are today.
My parents, they're wonderful people. We did not grow up going to church. My parents, I love them to death, and one day I'll get them in the doors of my church, but they still are not big church people, but they were wonderful influences. They lived very good lives. My mom read the Bible to us as children and prayed with us, and so that was wonderful, and we have a wonderful circle of support. Like, my family, I think it must be very unique, but I didn't realize until I was an adult how unique it is that I grew up with aunts and uncles and cousins, and I have one brother, and our family hanging out, like, every weekend and playing board games and talking and watching movies and going on vacations together. And so that's something
yes.
that we have tried to continue as my generation has become the parents. We now have all my cousins are more like my brothers and sisters because we're all so very close, and all of our children are growing up having sleepovers. And, you know, it's absolutely been the biggest contributor to who I am today. Family is incredibly important to us. And I, as far as the writing goes, I have been writing since I was little, even before, I think it was the year before I started kindergarten. I brought my mom some purple notebook paper and a pen. I was kind of a bossy kid, which I guess makes me a good mom now because I can boss everybody around. But I said, okay, you write the words, I'll tell you the story. So she sat down, and I dictated a story, a little different version of the Gingerbread Man, and then I illustrated the story. So I've been writing for a very, very, very long time. since I was little, I've been writing.
Oh, how fun, though.
yes, and I still have that. I still have it. And it's actually, my mom saved it. Somehow she just intuitively knew that it was going to be important to me. So I still have it in a lockbox, a fireproof lockbox, because it's so important to me. I knew early on I wanted to write. I just didn't have the courage to do it until a couple of years ago. So I'm thankful that God opened that door for us. That was another definitely God-directed part of my life.
Yes, it sure sounds like it. You're like, well, you are considerably younger than I'm sure, but I always wanted to write from the time I was a kid too. And you know what I would do
yeah.
though? I would take my favorite like TV shows.
Uh-huh.
My very favorite TV show was the Western Gunsmoke.
Oh,
and
yes.
I would watch the show and then I would kind of rewrite the story.
yeah. Hey, that works.
Yeah, so anyway, I can certainly understand. But Sarah, I want to get back to, though, and this may have to do with your writing. As you know, the premise of this show is Step Into the Light, where we have folks who have been, we have folks who bring light to dark places, and you definitely did that with your mission trip. But also, we have folks who sometimes talk about a dark place that they have been in and how they found their way back to light, relating to the mission trip or your writing or maybe an experience with your kids. Is there a time when you felt like, wow, I'm just really, really in this dark place and God showed
mm-hmm.
you a way out of it back to light?
I think that I tend to be a very empathetic person, and so I tend to feel other people's emotions quite a bit, and I feel my own emotions. I experience life on an emotional level, let's put it that way. So there's been a lot of times where I have been in dark places. The one that comes to mind right now, though, is when I feel like God's given us several callings over the last few years, and he called us to be foster parents for almost 4 years, and we had our placement, one that we've adopted now, my fourth daughter that we have since adopted, but we found out that their mom was pregnant, and I instantly said, I don't know, I hope that mom can make the changes so that she can keep this baby, but I want to be available if this baby gets taken into custody too, so that brother and sister or brother and sister, you know, the siblings can be together. My husband said, okay. So we made steps. We lived in a very, very small house. We had four children and me and him in a 900 square foot house. And DCS said, you don't have any more room. And I said, we're going to make room. So we prayed really hard about it, and we sold our house and went through the process of getting a larger home, only to find out that there was a possibility that we wouldn't be able to get the new baby because there was family on the dad's side. And that was really heartbreaking because we had already moved out of our home and were camping in my parents' driveway with four kids while they were getting our new home ready for us. And then we find out that we're probably not going to get this the baby that we've made preparations for. And so that was a hard, really hard time to go through and to follow with such blind faith. God didn't say, give up. God said, keep going. I'm going to make a way. And we found out that little guy, which is our son now, was born. And they called us and said, he's been in the NICU for 4 weeks, and we need you to come today and spend the night so we can come home with you. And I was like, wait, we're getting him? And they were like it was information that we were supposed to know already, you know? And I was like, okay, well, it's my daughter's birthday, so after we finish celebrating, I'll come to the hospital. So I did, brought him home, continued camping in my parents' driveway for another 4 weeks with a brand new baby straight out of the NICU and the other four kids. And it was just a really hard, exhausting time. And once we got moved home, I lost my job. And I mean, it was like one thing after another, but God just said, keep pressing forward. There's a plan here. There's a plan here. So we did, and that is when he opened the door for me to be able to write full-time, opened the door soon after that for us to adopt both of them, and really it was all a matter of just saying, okay, I have no idea what your plan is, God. Things look really bleak right now. Things look really scary right now, but I know that your plan is going to work, and if we just follow it, it's all going to work out the way it's supposed to. And it did. It did. We now have 5 children that are ours forever, and I'm riding full time, and we still have our new house and our farm, and it's all worked out the way it's supposed to.
Oh, wow. Sarah, that is such an amazing story. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
It was, you know, I felt like a zombie for most of it because we were, you know, I was up with a newborn who was not healthy, and then coming to our new house and trying to finish drywalling and painting and so that we could pass inspection and celebrating my daughter's birthday. I mean, it was a lot, but I likened it in, you know, people at church would kind of go, are you guys really going to do all this? And I said, yeah, we're just stepping off the Grand Canyon with no net and trusting God that he's going to catch us. And he did. So.
Oh, wow. That, you know, and I just have the highest respect for foster parents. I have never been one. My sister-in-law and brother-in-law were. And when they adopted this one baby, my sister-in-law told me, she said, I must be out of my mind because when this child is 18 years old, I will be, I don't know, 75 years old or something.
Oh, wow.
And just a couple of weeks ago, we went to her high school graduation.
Aww.
Like,
that's great.
You did it, you know. Yeah. I have so much respect for people that can open their hearts to children who do not always come from the best situations and where you know that there are usually going to be problems down the road. And yet you open your heart to whatever is going to happen, and you just love those children with all of the ability that you have. So I just wanted to praise you and your family for that. And not only you and your husband, but the brothers and sisters too.
Yes. You they were wonderfully supportive.
Mm-hmm, yeah. It's just a wonderfully amazing thing. And I think, didn't we somewhere in the course of our conversation, Sarah, mentioned that this is Foster Parent Adoption Month, July?
I don't think we did, but that is a good thing.
No, I think you and I before the show, I think we mentioned that.
Yes. And you know, it amazes me. There is such a need, and it breaks my heart in a way that we can't still be foster parents. But it was very clear to me that this was my limit, and it is important to know where your limits lie. So there is such a need, and especially it seems like in the area that we live in here in East Tennessee, and actually in Anderson County, we were named one of the number one counties in the country for drug abuse. And so there tends to be an extremely high rate of infants born dependent on substances here. There's a very high, very, very, very high need for foster parents. And my cousin, one of my other cousins and his wife are still foster parents. And I just, they were a big influence for the reason why we became foster parents. And so it's something that is definitely needful.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Sarah, I've been excited the whole show to talk about your two books, Callum's Compass and Camp Hope, especially since I stayed up till 1 o'clock in the morning last night finishing Camp Hope.
<That's>
Once
awesome.
I got about, oh, I'd say I was about halfway through and I said, this is my goal for tonight. I'm going to finish this book. So tell us about them.
And I'll start with Camp Hope since it's the one that's the newest and it's releasing. And it ties so well into what we were just talking about with foster care. The idea came to me while we were foster parents. And I actually had a nightmare that someone came and kidnapped our foster daughter. And I woke up as any mom would, just like, oh, that was horrible. My heart racing. You know, I hope that's one of every mom's fears, I'm sure, is that a child would be kidnapped. But then I got to thinking about the complications. How would that work as a foster parent? You know, would you face charges since the government's already involved in care, you know? And I thought, that would make a great book. Maybe I can kind of write this story and get rid of this horrible dream and write a good book at the same time. And so that's how Camp Hope came to be. And then, of course, I am a nature lover. I'm an outdoor East Tennessee, absolutely love everything science kind of person. And so I feel like I tie those elements into my writing. And so there's a lot of, there's an adventure on horseback in the mountains of East Tennessee and some suspense. But then there's also the faith arc where Amy has to learn to let go of a traumatic childhood and learn if she can put her trust and her hope in God again. So that's this one that's releasing now. And Callum's Compass is a story that I wanted to write since high school. The idea came to me and kind of just brewed for all those years while I was too hesitant and shy and scared to write. But it was a lot of fun, and it's about a treasure hunt, which was a big part of my childhood. We never went on anything quite as adventurous as what happens to cats. Thankfully, because my uncle, he did treasure hunts for us, but they were not dangerous treasure hunts like we see in the book. But it would be pretty boring if I just wrote, you know, running around a beach house looking for some gold coins. But my uncle was a huge influence in my life, and he was almost like a second father to me. And so I wanted to write a story that would kind of bring out some of the fun that he put in my life. And then he passed away before the book was in print, but I knew we would be proud.
Oh, yes. Yeah, both books were very good, and I enjoyed I'm not as much as an outdoorsman person as I always dreamed I would be, and, you know, there's a lot of things I didn't do that I wished I'd done. But one thing I did do that might be of interest to you, before I moved out here to Colorado, I saw an ad in Colorado Magazine, and it was for a trip on horseback for 11 days in the San Juan Mountains.
Oh, my goodness.
And I took that, and that's how I ended up out here in Colorado, because a month to the day from the day I got home from that trip, I was working my first day out here at the VA hospital.
Wow. Although, I would love to do that.
Oh, man, it was awesome. But I do have to say that I kind of ended up in a different part of Colorado than I had hoped to, because I'm out here on the Southeast Plains. So, but anyway, I met my husband, and he was a local boy, and the rest is history. But that trip is something that I will never, ever regret. It was just such an awesome experience, and
That's amazing.
Novel in progress based on that trip. So I may be consulting you one of these days, Sarah.
Hey, that would be great.
So I've had that on the back burner for a long time. But, yeah, that's why I enjoy part of the reason I enjoyed your book so much, because that adventure piece of it, you know. And it's like, wow, this lady knows her way around the outdoors.
I love
but
being
also,
outdoors. I'm not,
But also especially in Camp Hope, I mean, man, you really created an atmosphere of hopelessness for those characters and brought them out of that. And I thought that that was well done. So I just wanted
to
bring that up. It's
Thank
been
you.
A while since I read Callum's Compass, but I do remember really enjoying it too. So
thank you.
You did a good job there.
Well, thank you. I prayed a lot about those stories and about the words and about the message. And I love fiction, but I also love fiction that has some meat to it that is, that is a little bit more deep level, I guess. And I don't know that I've achieved it or not, but that's my goal, is to try to speak to someone out there through the fiction of reality, and hopefully touch someone. If I only touch one person and make them, you know, think a little harder about an aspect of life, then that I've reached my goal. That's what I hope for.
Yeah. Well, I think you did reach that goal, and I know you have a third book in mind for the, what's the name of it? Faith, Hope, and Love series, isn't it?
Series. It'll be out in March of 2019. Mantle Rock is publishing that one as well. And it is going to be the journey to faith. And hopefully it will have some oomph to it too.
Well, I'm sure it will, Sarah. I'm sure it will. And I know today is Tuesday the 24th, and today is the day that Camp Hope actually releases. You have it on pre-order, but today's the release day, right?
Yes. And I'm actually having a Facebook party this evening, if everyone would like to come to it.
What exciting event are you anticipating? Go.
Yes, I'm excited. It starts at 6 o'clock Eastern time, and I'm going to have Kathy Kretzinger, she's an author and she's also my publisher. She's the owner of Mantle Rock. We're going to interview Becky Sawyer, who is a new author, Cherie Stover, who is a Love Inspired Suspense author, and Patricia Bradley has agreed to be my guest as well. And so they're going to be each giving away a copy of their book. And then I'm going to be giving away copies of Camp Hope, and I have some camping-themed goodie baskets to give away, which include more ingredients and a little camp lantern and, like, some other goodies. And then our grand prize that we're giving away at the end of the party is a $100 Amazon gift card for anyone who...
Wow.
I'm excited. Kathy's helping me with that one, too. Anybody who comes to the party and comments on anything will get their name entered into the drawing for the gift card. So it should be a lot of fun. I'm really excited about it.
Oh, how fun. Well, I plan to be there, but I will need to remember that 6 o'clock Eastern is 4 o'clock here, so...
Yes.
Put a reminder on, you know, up in lights or somewhere, so I don't forget that.
That's so funny.
But Kathy's another person who I don't know her personally, but I do the Over 50 Writer blog.
Mm-hmm.
And on ACFW, I put out my notices for people. Hey, you know, I need guest bloggers. And mm-hmm. she wrote me and she said, I don't know if you would be interested in me. I think is the way she worded it. But I wrote my first book when I was like, 60-some? And then I started my own publishing company when I was, you know, whatever, 70-some. And I was like, oh, honey.
Yes.
I want you, you know.
Yes, I know. So, I just admire that about her so much, that she still followed a dream even in her 60s and 70s. And her company's really growing. I think Mantle Rock is really establishing its presence as a serious publisher. So that's pretty cool.
Well, good. Maybe by the time I get mine done, I will be able to submit her. I'm really excited because I'm in two critique groups this year and we're very serious about our work. And
good.
And I just feel like I'm on track. Of course, I've said that for the past 40 years, so we'll see.
Yes.
But seriously, I mean, I now, of course, I'm retired and my husband has passed away and I'm by myself. So I have, you know, I'm not raising my family anymore and all these things. So we'll see if this is what God has in mind for me or if, you know, you just never know how it goes. So,
yeah.
Well, Sarah, before we close, is there anything else that you would like to bring up? Anything that you wish I had mentioned that I didn't, or anything you would like to elaborate on in the discussion that we had about the trip or your writing or foster care or anything?
I don't think so. I think you did a pretty good job. And like you said, you'll have a link up on your website to my website. So if anybody wants
yes.
to read those blogs that I did while I was on the trip, and well, I wrote them while I was on the trip, but I don't know. I was thinking, you know, the hotel that we stayed in, I knew it was going to have Wi-Fi, but Wi-Fi apparently in the Philippines means something different than it does in the United States. So I wasn't able to post them as I wrote them like I planned, but I did put them up after I got home and
mm-hmm.
added some amazing pictures. And so they're there, and there's some blogs, I'm sure if people dig, there's some about our foster experience too. So, and I love to connect with people. So I love to, if anybody ever has a prayer request that they'd like me to help them pray about, please visit my website, shoot me an email, let me know, and I will pray about it.
Sounds wonderful, Sarah. And I did mean to emphasize that I thoroughly enjoyed your blog posts about the trip, and for listeners and readers, I guess, they just put you right there in the middle of what Sarah experienced. She did an excellent job. It's not just we did this and we went there. It was there was a lot of emotion involved, and there was a lot of how it changed you, Sarah, how it shaped
mm-hmm.
you and the way that yeah. God touched you, and I just really, really enjoyed it. So I would urge
Thank
listeners
you.
To go to that. And once again, I will have that listed on the my website. So, all
yeah.
right, Sarah, well, listen, God bless you. Thank you so much for spending time with us this morning. You've just shared a great deal, and I certainly appreciate that, and I'm sure that our listeners will enjoy it as well. So may
well,
things continue to go well on the farm and with your
thank
little
you.
Ones, and just may God be with you in all that you do and for His glory.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today. I'm a very blessed girl to have to have everything God's given us in this life. So thank you for having me.
Okay, you're welcome. Listeners, in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Once again, let me urge you to check out pattysheene.com, pattisheene.com, where you will be able to listen to this show again or any other shows that we have. You'll be able to find out information about Sarah, where you can connect with her. And please don't forget to come to her Facebook party this evening. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. God bless you. Until next time.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a
like a pro, even if you're not one. Start with Lowe's and pick up the brands pros rely on, and pick up the know-how to get it done right. With a reputation on the line, pros know that brands like Purdy and Cabot deliver solid results. So if the go-to pro brands work for the big jobs, you can count on them to work for your projects. For the know-how, like choosing colors to taping and techniques, you can count on Lowe's for as little or as much help as you need. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. Paint like a pro, even if you're not one. Start with Lowe's and pick up the brands pros rely on, and pick up the know-how to get it done right. With a reputation on the line, pros know that brands like Purdy and Cabot deliver solid results. So if the go-to pro brands work for the big jobs, you can count on them to work for your projects. For the know-how, like choosing colors to taping and techniques, you can count on Lowe's for as little or as much help as you need. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's.